Could you turn to John chapter 18? John chapter 18 and verse 35. Or for context, we'll begin with verse 33. And John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Then Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And that's a question we could ask today. What is truth? And the Lord Jesus here said he came to testify of truth. But in conjunction with that, he was also the embodiment of truth. He was the eternal Son of God. And he had said earlier in the upper room, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We live in an age today where it's getting harder and harder to know what's true. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, that in the last days, it's going to get worse and worse. And so though deception has always existed, always been deceit, always obscuring of the truth, Paul warned that in the last days, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So today, when we read a newspaper, or we watch the news on TV, or we hear a politician speaking, we can always wonder, is it true? There's a lot of news today that could be characterized as propaganda. It's getting harder to separate truth from fiction and to distinguish between facts and opinions. We see many newspapers and periodicals now in their headlines obscuring the truth by mixing in opinion with facts. So how can we know what's true? And then we see this new phenomenon that sprung up in the last couple of years. It's been around a little longer, but it's gaining traction at an exponential rate. And it's known as artificial intelligence. I'm sure you've heard of it. AI, artificial intelligence. And there's a great potential for that, for the benefit of humanity. But just like anything that's for the benefit of humanity, there's always evil forces that will try to corrupt it for sinful purposes. And so we have something called deep fakes today. And I looked at the Canadian government's website, and they had a little blurb about deep fakes. They said deep fakes are media manipulations that are based on advanced artificial intelligence, or AI, where images, voices, videos, or texts are digitally altered or fully generated by AI. This technology can be used to falsely place anyone or anything in a situation in which they did not participate, a conversation, an activity, a location. AI-generated text, such as articles and blogs and reviews, whether truthful or not, can quickly be posted online and mixed in with the truth, the false and the truth mixed in together. And so that's a real problem when we want to know what's true. How can we know what's true? And so we've seen some humorous ones of individuals doing things that we know are not true, but they just do it for fun. It's like leaping into a volcano, or for me to be playing in the NHL. That we you see me playing, you know that's not true. But there are more deceitful AI-generated images that are attempting to give a false misrepresentation of somebody or what they have done, or to place them in a place where they were not. So we don't know what's true. But then there's a flip side to that, and it's just as bad, where something that is true, people don't, because they don't know it's true, they think it's false. And so these professors, Bobby Chesney and Daniel Citron, coined the term the liar's dividend. And what they were saying, the challenge of deep fakes that is presented to privacy and democracy and national security because of these deep fakes, when people see something that's true, they question it and they think it's false. And so you can see the problem. The things that are false are presented as true. And then things that are true, people say, well, how can I know? I'm going to think it's false. And there's that confusion. And so even today, there are court cases where people, even though there's real things that happen and true video, people are using the defense that's just a deep fake. It never happened. And so we know that the devil delights to mix things up and to cause this confusion in the world, especially when it comes to spiritual things. So suddenly we could say there's no more reality in a lot of cases. We don't know what's real and what's not real, what is false. And so Pilate asked the question, what is truth? And we don't know what Pilate was thinking. The Bible doesn't say. Was he saying that something that was sarcastic? Was he truly puzzled when he said that? Was he irritated, annoyed by Christ's declaration that he came to testify to the truth? Maybe he was throwing up his hands and saying, who can know the truth? And so we can ask that question. When it comes to spiritual things, how can we know what's true and what's real? Where did this confusion begin? Because God is a God of truth. Titus chapter 1 verse 3 says, God cannot lie. God the Father cannot lie. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then testify to the other person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, he is called the Spirit of Truth. So God is a God of truth, and he cannot lie. So when God says something, he's only going to say the truth. He's not going to misrepresent himself. He's not going to misrepresent other people. God does not engage in deep fakes. God wants to reveal the truth about himself, and he wants to reveal the truth to you about your heart tonight. So where did this confusion begin? Well, we must go back to Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. And we know that the first man and woman were created, and they were created perfect and holy, or perfect without sin, but they still, unlike God who is holy, they had the potential to sin. And we know that when the devil tempted them, he tempted them by mixing up truth and error. He confused them. He caused them to question what is truth. And so we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, very subtly he comes in the form of a serpent. And they ask, did God really say you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Now God had not said that. He was misrepresenting what God said. God had said you can eat of every single tree in the garden, even the tree of life, but you're not to eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. There was one tree put in the garden to test them. And God said, that's one tree, you cannot eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. They would die immediately spiritually. They would lose their fellowship with God. They would become spiritually dead, but eventually they would die physically. Sin would bring death. And so God wanted them to know the truth about himself. He's a holy God. And if they obeyed him, they would have fellowship with him, and that they would live But if they sinned, they would die. But the devil mixed up God's words. He caused a deep fake, a misrepresentation, a mixture of what God had truly said. And so that he asked, did God say you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And so the woman said truthfully, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, we shall not eat of it. And then she added, nor touch it, which God had not said. Perhaps Adam had instructed her not to touch it to prevent her from being tempted. But they were confused by God's message because of this bringing in of this misrepresentation of what God had said. And then in verse 5, the devil not only misrepresented the message, but he misrepresented the character or the person of God. When they said, he said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, God doesn't want the best for you. God is holding out and he knows that there's something better. And so he knows that would happen if you took of that. And so he was causing them to doubt God's love and character, his love for them and his true character, that he truly wanted what was best for them. And so there was that bringing in of this lie. And we know the tragic results. Adam and Eve listened to the serpent and they took of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and they disobeyed God. And immediately they knew it, that their fellowship with God was broken. And that's where the sin came to this earth. Sin began in heaven with the devil, who was a perfect angel, and he rebelled against the Lord. But sin came to the earth through the devil. Now, that's why the Lord said in John chapter 8, when he was confronted by the rulers of Israel, who were telling the Lord, basically, you're not real. You claim to be the Son of God. We question that. We don't believe it's true. We believe it's false. You're misrepresenting yourself. In other words, you're a deep fake. You're not who you say you are. And so the Lord responded to that by telling them, you are of the Father, your devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's because he brought sin into the world, and sin brought death. So the devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we could say, as we live in this world of misrepresentation and deep fakes and questioning what is true, we could say that nobody has been more represented in the world today than God. God has been slandered. God has been misrepresented. Lies have been told about God's character. And lies have been told about what God truly has said about us and about our need of a Savior. Then we see that the Lord talked about the heathen through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1. And he talks about how cultures will have a knowledge of God, and they can see it in creation, that it manifests the glory of God, the eternal Godhead. The invisible attributes of God are seen in creation. So we look at creation and we see God's power, and we see his wisdom, and we see his grace and his love. We see the glory of God in creation. But the people of the world suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because they suppress the truth of who God is, it leads them to treat their fellow brothers or fellow human beings with unrighteousness. They hurt their fellow man. They hurt their fellow women because they have no concept that there's truly a God who sees all. So they suppress the truth. And when you suppress the truth, you go further and further into darkness. That's the danger tonight. If God speaks to your heart and you know he's the Savior, and you know you need to respond to his message of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but you harden your heart. It gets easier and easier to harden your heart, and you will descend more and more into darkness. And not only do they suppress the truth, but they exchange the truth of God for the lie. The lie that you can live independent of God, that this life is all there is, and you can live and you don't, it doesn't matter. Maybe there's a God, maybe there's not, but it doesn't matter to me. And you just live independent of God, that you can have a meaningful life without God. It's a lie. But the Lord Jesus came with a message. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so when we think about how God has been misrepresented in his character, his person, and also in his message, we come to the Son of God. When that God 2,000 years ago sent his Son into this world, and he became man, and he truly represented God. He represented his person, and he himself was a message of God, a message of love. And so Hebrews chapter 1 speaks of the Lord, that that he has been spoken of in these last days. God has spoken in different times by various people, various prophets, and partial ways over time. But now he has spoken in these last days fully through his Son. The Son of God perfectly manifests his Father, perfectly manifests God. So Colossians 1:15 can say that he is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says he's the brightness of his glory and the express image of God. Christ is God's message. God reveals God's person, but he's also the message of God, and he's the message of God today. Philip asked a question in the upper room. He said, Lord, show us the Father. And the Lord said, have I been with you so long? Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am God just like the Father. I perfectly manifest the Father. There's no deep fake here. I perfectly show who God is and what he's like. And the words which he has given me, the Father gave me the words to say. John 17 verse 8. And so the message from the mouth of Christ was the very words of God. There was no misrepresentation. There was no deceit. It was the open, honest revelation of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Son of God became man so that he could be our Savior. And so the Lord Jesus says here to Pilate in John chapter 18, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. He was born. His humanity began with his birth, but he existed well before that. He came into the world because he's the eternal Son of God who always existed. And so we see the angel saying to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The one who was the Son was born in time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We must believe the truth. And if you're not sure of the truth, there's only one place to find it. It's in the Word of God that reveals perfectly who God is and what his message. So what are some of the deep fakes today about God's person and his message? The deep fakes about God's character is this, that he will let everybody into heaven. That all you got to do is try to do good, go to church, try to do good to your neighbor, and God will let you into heaven someday. But that denies the person. It's a deep fake. It's a misrepresentation of who God is. Yes, God is a God of love, but he's a holy God who must judge sin. And 2,000 years ago, he judged sin at Calvary on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But to enter into the benefit of it, you must believe on him. It's only by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that you can be saved. And so it's a misrepresentation of God to say that you can just try to do your best and you will enter into heaven. The Bible says there's a hell that is the future of everyone who rejects Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're here tonight, God has an urgent message for you. He wants you to understand that he loves you and he does not want you to go to hell. But if you reject him, that's your only future, because he's a holy God. And then there's this, not only the message that people say you can work your way to heaven, but they deny who God truly is. But the Lord says, all our righteousness is like filthy rags. And so to try to climb our way to heaven, we will fall short. And so the message tonight, as we close, I want to impress upon you is, look into the Word of God for the truth about who Jesus Christ is. And to be saved, you have to know who He is. That He's the eternal Son of God who stepped into time and became man. To be our Savior, He had to become man. Because only man can die. God does not die. And so He became a man so He could die for our sins. But He was still, at the same time, the eternal Son of God. Listen to the very solemn words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 12, verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. Often we will try to misrepresent ourselves. We maybe are embarrassed about some feature of ourselves and we want to obscure it or hide it. But God, who is perfect and just and holy in all His ways, He perfectly always reveals Himself. He doesn't hide. He says, I'm the eternal I am. I am who I am. He always is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. And so He always is the true God. And so in this age of saying, what can I know? How can I know the truth? There's one truth you can know. Who is Jesus Christ? And what is His message? And He says, I am the message. I am the revelation that God truly loves you because He sent me. I am the Son of His love. God loves the Son, but yet He was willing to send me. And that's the message of God tonight. Jesus Christ is my message to you, and He's who I am. You want to know what I'm like? Look at my Son. He's the image of the invisible God. And so I hope tonight, if you've never thought about these things, that you would talk to somebody. You would call the text line or text to it, or talk to somebody tonight and see how you could know for sure that should you leave this earth tonight, you go into the very presence of the very God who loved you and sent His Son to die for your sins. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this quick look we could have at the only true God. The Lord Jesus Christ said that eternal life is the truth about God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. And Father, we know who God is like by looking at the Son. And we pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here tonight that's not yet trusted the Lord as their Savior, they would take that step of faith tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.